And I'm entitling this series, The Leading of the Holy Spirit, Our Greatest Asset. And really, the leading of the Holy Ghost, I believe I'll be able to prove to you, is our greatest asset. It is our greatest asset. And it is also an asset that the majority of Christians know nothing about. And there's a lot of Christians in churches that teach it that don't understand it. Can you imagine Christians that go to churches that don't teach it? It is probably the most misunderstood subject of the Bible, and yet it is the most necessary. And so, of course, it's a very vast subject, and it would take literally, I could preach this, I could teach this 52 weeks, 52 Sundays in a row, and still not exhaust the subject. It's that large, and it's that the breadth of it is mammoth. But I can't do that, so I'm going to talk about highlights. Because really, my job, can I be honest with you? I'm going to give you some help this morning if you'll pay attention. You got to stir yourself up to pay attention. And I'm going to give you some help and give you something to eat. But I'm trusting, especially on a subject as broad as this, that this will give you an appetite. When you start tasting food, you want more. That there'll be an appetite, and yes, we'll feed you some more, but a lot of this, because it's so vast, you're going to have to do some study on your own. You're going to have to get Dad Hagen's book, How to Be Led by the Spirit of God. And you should read that book. And then when you've read it, you need to read it again with a highlighter.
Yes.
And highlight the important sections. And then when you've done that, get a different color highlighter and read it again. Because you'll find brand new things you never saw the first time. And highlight that in a different color. And then just keep doing that till you've read it 5 or 6 times with different colors. And watch what God... And then you'll see every reading. You'll see, well, that's where I got the first one. But look what I got the second one. Look what I got the third one. And I would encourage you, and there's many books, I'm just saying his is one of the best, and he's written more than one on that subject. Following the Plan of God for Your Life is another one that's similar, but not exactly the same. But this is something I'm hoping I will give you a little bit of an appetite for, that you would start to study on your own, because for me to give you the exhaustive measure of this would take far too long. But it's too big of a subject, but I'm going to give you some simple points over the next few weeks, and I believe it's going to help you. I really mean it. If you'll open up your heart today, it'll help you. Now, I want to start by repeating the word of prophecy God gave me last Sunday morning, and I preached it last Sunday, but I want to repeat it because part of it applies to what we're talking about now. So let me repeat to you what the Lord had said to me last Sunday morning, and then, I ended up being a bit late to the service because he was talking to me before I left, and I had to stop what I was doing and sit and listen. But that's fine. The Lord, he's the boss. I don't care when he talks, as long as he talks. And he says, there is more for my people in these Hebron years. Who do you think he's talking about? The body of Christ at large? He's talking about you. He's talking about this church. But many are not walking in what I have planned for them. Either because, he gave 4 reasons now. Are you listening? Either because they don't see themselves worthy, as you did. He's referring to the plane, and I explained that last Sunday. Or because they won't pray it out in the Holy Ghost. And don't even know it exists. Or they won't release their faith. Or they won't sow when I tell them to sow. Because that seed opens the gate to their harvest. Or a combination of these things. But whether they're walking it or not, I have provided more for my people in this Hebron season, more than they realize. And the angels are poised to bring it into manifestation. If they, the people, will only walk in the path that I have set before them. So encourage them, correct them, teach them, that they may walk in all that I have for them in these Hebron years. Amen. And I shared that in conjunction with this statement that he said to me a couple days earlier, because of who I've made you, you have a right to something better. And I gave last week the living example from my own life recently, right? Hot off the press. Right out of the oven, so to speak, of that wonderful plane, the little plane trainer that God's blessed us with that's, old and doesn't fly very high, doesn't fly very fast. But I knew that we're having this next plane coming. He already told me the twin engine, it's coming. I knew it's a 4-year thing. And I was prepared to fly that little one all that 4 years just to get into that next one. And I was happy to do that, although it is a little bit of a difficult process. It's small, it's tight, it's slow. It everything about it lags. But at least it's a plane. At least I've entered that world. Do you understand? And then he started dealing with me about buying Randy's plane. And I said, but Lord, why? Like, I don't. And then he started dealing with me. You don't see yourself as worthy I've made you someone. And that's what I wasn't seeing. He's made me someone. Better, higher and more glorious than I see myself as. But he sees me differently than I see me. That's the problem. We have to see ourselves the way he sees us. Now that sounds like a little cliche, but it's really true. I don't see myself, at least in that situation, like the way he saw me. I was looking at the way I saw me, and I don't deserve it because I'm new to this. I'm the fresh kid on the block. I don't have a right to. Randy's been flying that plane for 17 years. He's been flying for 35 years. He has a right for a nice rocket ship like that. I don't have a right for that. I'm new. I should pay my dues. I should fly the little small thing that takes forever. And the Lord said to me, let me repeat it. He said, because of who I've made you. Because of who I've made you, you have a right to something better. Because when he said, offer the buy his plane, I said, what? First of all, we don't have the money. And second of all, I don't deserve that. And he said, because of who I've made you, you have a right to something better. Now, he was giving the example to me about this particular plane situation. He was trying to say, you think that's what I have for you for 4 years. No, because you don't think right. You think you're not worthy of it. I've got something better for you. You're going to have the little baby one for the first year because you got to train. But after that, I've got something nicer for you. Because of who I've made you, you have a right to something nicer, son. But you don't see yourself as a right to something nicer because of that religious spirit, that poverty mindset still got a hold of you even though you preach like you're free. But in some areas, you're not. That's what he was dealing with me about. And I am free in some areas. Like I said to you, I had to get free in my shoes. I had to get free into my travel and how I fly commercially. There's areas that I've progressed in, but there's areas that I haven't. And believe me, we're all the same. Yes. And we got to grow up. Yes. And so he was helping me grow up and say, I've got something better for you, and you need to see yourself the way I see you. I don't want you flying that. And I apologize because I didn't mean to call it a pile of junk last week. Because Randall Jr., Randy Greer's son, was watching the service. And he texted me while I was preaching and said, Pastor Craig, your plane is not a pile of junk. And then, of course, the board of directors, who thinks that they're led by the Spirit, but half the time they're not, came up to me after and said, Pastor Craig, don't say that it's a pile of junk. And I said, I repent to all of you. It is not a pile of junk. But compared to the new plane, it's a pile of junk. Compared to. But in and of itself, it's not. But so what I was trying to say is that I'm prepared to go with lesser. But the Lord is trying to teach me, because of who I've made you, you have a right to something better. Now, don't get in the ditch and start getting, you know, thinking that you're all that, and your head swell, your hat won't fit, and now you're just living high on the hog, and you're taking advantage, and you're being covetous. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a pure area in the middle of the road where you're prepared to do less, but God's trying to bring you higher to say, I've made you someone high. In the spirit, I've made you a king and a priest. Now, you have a right to something better if you just ask me for it. Yes. Praise God. So thank God, my failed test one of seeing myself worthy, but because I pray a lot in the Holy Ghost, he was able to lead me into that revelation. And because I understand faith, I was able to lay hold of that in faith. Do you understand? And because I sow seed, I was able to cause that financial, so we juggled money around and da-da-da-da-da, and we were able to do it, praise God. But he was trying to say to me, the little one is for the training, but I've got something nicer because you're not a worm. I got something nicer for you. Now enjoy this. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. Now enjoy this plane for the next 3 years. And build your hours and build your skill and get all your ratings and do what you need to do. And then I'll bless you with something even better. That can haul more people and take you to the Native Indian reserves and do what you need to do, because this little one can't haul a lot of weight, but it goes fast. We need one that goes fast and hauls a lot of weight so I can carry supplies up to the Native Indian reserves. But he said, but see, we're on a process. We're on a progress. You don't just get everything the first day. You start where you're at and you build, and God will lead you into more. It's not a quick fix. It's a leading into more. I'm trying to say that to you because one of the four things, what was it? You're not worthy. You don't pray in the Holy Ghost. People, if they don't pray, they won't even know it exists. You don't release your faith and you don't sow. Those are the four things. But I'm emphasizing one of the things he said is people that don't pray in the Holy Ghost don't even know it exists. Right. It's very important that we pray in the Holy Ghost, that we understand how to be led by the Spirit. And that starts with praying much in the Holy Ghost. It doesn't end there, but it starts with that. Now, the week before that, I gave you the nine secrets to Joshua's success. Yeah. the ninth secret was that he was led by the Spirit. Now, that is from Joshua. I won't read it for sake of time, but the reference is Joshua 6, verse 3 to 5. Now, he wasn't led by the Spirit like we are, because he didn't have the Holy Ghost like we do. But Jesus himself showed up to him in bodily form and said, this is what you're going to do. I have given you the city. That's faith. Now what you're going to do, you're going to circle around it, and he gives them the whole strategy. What is that called? When God gives you the strategy of exactly what to do, what is that called? He is leading you. Jesus led Joshua into victory. And if he didn't obey exactly what Jesus said, the walls would not have fallen. If he had decided this is taking too long, I'll do it for 3 days, and on the fourth day, I'm going to shout. Or if I'll do it the 6 days, and on the seventh day, but I don't think we should do it 7 times. We're tired. I think we're going to do it once and shout. No, you got to do exactly as the Spirit leads, specifically with his leading. And when he obeyed that, what happened? The miracle came to pass. But what does that mean when Jesus came to him and talked to him? What does it mean for us? Jesus may not be showing up to you in an open vision talking to you, but you don't need Jesus to show up to you in an open vision to talk to you when he said, it's better that I go. It's better that I'm not here to show up and talk to you personally. It's better I leave, because if I leave, I send you someone greater. I send you the Holy Ghost. And he will live inside you, and he will breathe inside you, and he will show you the truth, and he will lead you into truth, and he will guide you, and he will help you, and he will be with you when you're lonely, and he will strengthen you when you're weak, and he'll encourage you when you're sad, and he'll empower you to cast out devils. He'll empower you to heal the sick. He'll show you my path, and he'll help you stay on that path. I want Jesus to appear to me, yes, but I'm grateful that I've got the Holy Ghost, because he said it's better that you've got the Holy Ghost than even me there in person with you. So who am I to argue with Jesus? If he said it's better, then it's better. I know it's more dramatic if Jesus were to show up in person, but it's better that I've got the Holy Ghost. May not be as dramatic, but it's better. Don't look for drama. Look for what's best. Don't just look for ear-tickling, exciting, sensational things. Look for what's best. He said, it's better that I go, that I give you the Holy Ghost. Because with the Holy Ghost, your problems are all solved. All your problems are solved. And we see Joshua again, as I said 2 weeks ago. I won't read it for sake of time, but the reference is Numbers, if you want to read it later. Numbers 27, verse 21. In his coronation, in his induction, in his commission with Moses. What did God talk about? He said when he laid hands on him and transferred the spirit of wisdom. Then he talked about the judgment of Urim. The judgment of Urim always represented symbolically the leading of the Spirit, because God would lead them through the sun shining on the stones, and they would do lots and cast lots and all this stuff. But really what it was a symbol and a type and a foreshadowing of the leading of the Holy Ghost. So the fact that it says you're going to operate under the judgment of Urim means in our modern day, through the cross vernacular, you're going to be led by the Spirit. What was God saying to Joshua? He didn't talk about a lot. He could have talked about a lot of things, Jenny, at his induction. But what he did talk about was, I'm going to lead you. He could have mentioned a lot of things. He could have mentioned faith. He didn't mention faith. He said, I'm going to lead you. Why? Because the leading of the Spirit is the most important thing in your life. Even, believe it or not, more important than faith. Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, for your notes, I won't read it for sake of time, but that's the Deuteronomy version. There's two, there's Numbers and Deuteronomy, when Joshua was ministered to by Moses and he took over the leadership role. But both reference the leading of the Spirit, because the Numbers one says after the judgment of Urim, and then the Deuteronomy one says that the spirit of wisdom came on him. The spirit of wisdom came on him. Why? What does it mean to be wise? It's not just smart. Wisdom is not just being smart.
No.
Wisdom is having the Spirit's influence upon you to know the mind of God and to follow what God instructs you to do. When it called him wise, it actually meant that he could hear the instruction of God. I'm going to prove it to you. Turn with me, please. I've given you references, but I want you to actually turn to this one. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. I'm getting somewhere, so stay with me today.
Amen.
1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. Are you there?
Yes.
Well, I'm not. 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 9. You're too fast. Well, I'm actually looking it up in three different translations, so don't get too excited about how good you are. Okay. Praise God. I'm faster than you in reality. We all know that. 1 Kings, praise God. Now, let me read it to you from the King James Version. Therefore, give therefore thy servant. This is his prayer. remember, we see the stupid genie thing in the things, you know, the genie and the lamb. I'll give you three wishes. Well, I think they got that from here. Because God comes to him and says, I give you whatever you want. I mean, that's a pretty big thing. What would you ask for? Well, what he asked for was in verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? The Amplified Classic says, give your servant an understanding mind and a hearing heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge or rule this your great people? Now, I looked up that word in the Hebrew, understanding. Give thy servant an understanding heart. And the Hebrew word literally means to be able to hear. So the Amplified Classic is the closest translation to the original, because it is saying, give me a hearing heart. What is a hearing? They didn't understand the phrase, let me be led by your spirit. What is a hearing heart? What is your heart? Your heart is down where your spirit is, in that area. Your spirit man, the inner part of you, hears. That's what a hearing heart is your spirit hearing. Hearing who? God. Your spirit don't need to hear you. Your mind already heard you. Your spirit don't want to hear the devil. Your spirit, your heart, your innermost being needs to hear God. Yeah. When you are, this is one way we phrase it differently in the New Testament because of the New Testament phraseology of Paul. But this, what it's saying in the Old Testament is the same thing in the New Testament. It's just phrased differently. What he's saying is, give me an understanding heart. Give me a hearing heart. Let my innermost being hear you. What does the New Testament say? That we are to be led by the Spirit. Where's the Spirit? In our spirit, in our innermost being. What we are, he is going to reveal and speak and show by the inner witness inside what God wants, and for us to pick that up and hear what God is saying. This is the same. We have a greater measure of it in the New Testament, because they didn't have the Holy Ghost living in them in the Old. But they had a little measure of it in the Old, especially if you were in that prophet, priest, or king category. Because the anointing was upon them to serve. But now watch the heart. Lord, I want to hear you. Are you ready for something? Are you ready for something? Now, what did God say to him? Can you keep reading with me? Verse 11. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing and have not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches, nor asked the life of your enemies, but has asked for an understanding and discerning heart. Behold, I have done according to thy words, and I have given thee an understanding heart, so there'll be none like you. And verse 13, and I've also given you what you haven't asked me for. Riches, long life, and that of your enemies. Do you understand what God is saying? This is a very important part of this sermon, so pay attention. God is saying, you could have asked for money. You could have asked for victory. That's what life of your enemies means, victory. You could have asked for health so that you live long. Because why do you not live long? You're sick. So by living long, it means health. You could have asked for what you wanted. Money, health, and victory. Now, I wish above all things that you'd have money, prosper, and that you'd be in health. So God wants us to have these things. But he said to Solomon, you didn't ask for the money, and you didn't ask for the health and long life, and you didn't ask for the victory. What you did ask for pleases me. Listen to what you asked for. You asked, are you listening? That you would hear me. For what end? So that you can lead my people. Now, what does that mean? For you, what does that mean? The plan that God had assigned to Solomon was to lead the people. We could say the path of his perfect will for Solomon was that he guides the people as a king. What Solomon was saying was, let me hear you so that I can fulfill the assignment on my life. What is that assignment? It's different on Solomon than it was on his servants. But every person has an assignment. So don't get hung up on the specificity of Solomon's assignment, which was to be a king. The point is, what he's saying is, whatever you've asked me to do, what is my assignment? What is my path? What is the perfect will of God for me to walk? In this case, to lead your people. Give me a hearing heart. That you would guide me to walk out my path. I don't know if people get it, Jenny. It don't matter what God's asked you to do. You have an assignment. It might be different to Solomon's, but the point is not the specificity of the assignment. The point is your heart says to God, more than money, more than long life, more than health, more than anything, more than victory, I want to fulfill your plan. The greatness of your plan you've given for me to walk. I want to fulfill it. And in order to fulfill it, I must hear you. Yes. You must guide me. You must lead me. Yes. Amen. Do you see it? Yes. Stop looking for money. Come on. It don't come by looking. It comes by being in the plan. The plan has money. The plan has health. The plan will keep you from disease. The plan will bring victory. The plan will bring blessing. Everything is about fulfilling the plan. But you can't fulfill it if you don't have a hearing heart. Because you'll mess it up. Because you'll think, well, I've got a better way of doing it, and you'll get off the path. What you got to do is saying, lead me. New Testament vernacular. Holy Ghost, guide me, lead me, so I can find the path, stay in the path, and fulfill my assignment. That is what is most important to me. And God said, finally, finally, I found someone who isn't corrupted by the greed for money. Who isn't just thinking selfishly about their own victory and their own peace and their own health and their own long life. I want them to have those things. But finally, I've found someone who's got priorities straight. Let me obey what you've called me to do and guide me so I can obey it. Are you with me? It's so simple. What did God ask you to do, Rob? Your only thought in life should be, Lord, what have you asked me to do and guide me into doing it? That's it. I'm not saying you can't claim money. We teach you all these things. But your main objective is, what did God ask me to do? What did God ask me to do? What did God ask me to do? Guide me, lead me, let me be led by the Spirit. Let me hear you. Let me have an understanding heart. Same thing, so that I can fulfill what you asked me to do. Now, out of that priority will come everything else. The money will come. For me, the plane will come. The health will come. The strength will come. The contacts, the networking, the favor will come. Amen. Everything we need will come. Yes. Out of that priority of first. Amen. What has God asked you to do? And if you don't know, if you don't know what he's asked you to do, then humble himself. Now notice the tone. I'm trying to help you. Are you listening? The tone of his word was, the tone of Solomon's words were, Father. There was a, if you read it in the Hebrew and in the English, but if you read it in the Hebrew, you'll see that his tone had great humility to it. It wasn't like, well, you know, you asked me to do this, so just guide me. It wasn't that attitude. There was a tremendous sense of humility. He said, I am small. You read it. I am small. I am a tender child. I do not understand how to do this assignment you've given me. So I ask you, I humble myself before you and I say, Father, teach me how to do your plan. Yes. When you ask to be led by the Spirit, humility must be a part of the equation. Proud, are you listening to me? Because I'm helping you more than you're saying amen. Proud people find it very hard to be led by the Holy Ghost. Because pride naturally repels the leading of the Spirit. Pride is saying, I'll do it my way. I know. But the leading of the Spirit is God. And you shut up and listen and do what he says. With the leading always comes humility. If you're not a humble person, you're going to have trouble in your future. Because you're used to you thinking that you're better than you are, bigger than you are, smarter than you are. That's why people that get PhDs and MBAs and all this stuff, I think it's great. But you better watch extra careful. Because now you're a candidate for pride. You're a candidate because you got the education. And you, what have you done? You've developed your brain. Nothing wrong with developing your brain. But if you develop your brain and then you think you're better because you've developed your brain, you're a fool. You may have 7 PhDs and you're the biggest fool in the room, because it's not only about developing your brain, although there is great skill in developing your brain. I am for education. I'm not against it. But what I am against is when the education fights the spirit, because the spirit is the highest form, the highest aspect of human existence is the spirit, not the mental faculty. Not the degrees behind your name. Get the degrees, but stay humble. Get the degrees and still wait on God and still lean upon him. Realize that your spirit comes ahead of your degrees. Reverend Greg's got 2 degrees. He's an educated, smart man, but he recognizes that is not over this, which makes him wise. I know lots of PhDs that are fools. And the biggest fools of all, God himself calls them a fool, is those that get all their stuff and they look and they say, there is no God. We come from monkeys. The universe happened by a swamp or some stupid nonsense. And they got all their physics degrees and this degree and that degree. And the Bible calls them fools, utter and rejected fools that will live in eternity in hell. Take your degrees with you. Because your degrees robbed you from your spiritual insight. Degrees don't have to. Education doesn't have to. But it does with a lot of people. So get educated. Do as much as God leads you, but make sure God's leading you to do it. Don't do it if he doesn't lead you to do it. But if he leads you, do it and enjoy it. But don't think because you got 6 letters behind your name that you're better than somebody without it. And don't think that you can lean on your own understanding and that you're going to get through this life, because you'll find pretty quick that your degrees, they can't give you favor. And they can't give you healing. And they can't get you on a path. I'm serious. Because the world thinks so backwards to the way we think. And we have to address it. Especially for the young people. That they're told by their guidance counselor that the degree is the epitome of success. And it's not. Following the plan of God is the epitome of success. And your counselor don't know nothing about that. So maybe you shouldn't go to that counselor. Maybe you should come to your pastor and let your pastor give you counsel by the Spirit. In fact, maybe you should just show up to church because you got free counseling this morning. The Spirit knows what to do for your future. And he'll guide you if he wants you to go to this university or that university or no university. Let him guide you. I'm not against university. They're dark places spiritually, but they are required sometimes to do the job and the assignment that God has given, because they won't hire you without the university degree. But if you just listen to the Holy Ghost, he'll guide you to which university? He'll guide you in the university. He'll give you friends that are Holy Ghost people in the university, and you will go through unscathed in your education. But people that don't follow the Holy Ghost, they struggle. They struggle. Praise God. I want to be like Solomon, who was a wise man. But why was he so wise? Because he could hear. Or we could say, because he's led. New Testament. We are led by the Spirit, makes us wise. It's the most important thing in your life. Praise God. Can I quote you this verse? Since I can tell you're tired, you don't want to look up any more scriptures. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. Well, I can't find it. Oh, yeah. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. In other words, the highest thing you can get is wisdom. What is wisdom? An understanding heart. What was Solomon? The wisest man that ever lived. Why? Because he had an understanding heart. Because he could hear. That's Old Testament. Now, in the New Testament, the Holy Ghost is in you and he wants to guide you. But your motive needs to be, I want to do what you've asked me to do. I want to do the plan. For him, it was eating people, but for you, it could be something else. It could be driving a truck. I want to do the plan. Now, guide me, lead me. That's your listening. Lead me by your spirit so I can do that plan.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you focus on that, you'll never make mistakes. You never have to chase money.
No.
It will follow you.
Yeah.
Favor will follow you.
Yeah.
Stuff will follow you.
Yeah.
But then the Bible say that the blessing of the Lord will chase you down.
Yeah.
It will chase you down. It just follow you. It'll say you're like a magnet.
Amen.
But that's because you got your motives right.
Yeah.
I'm after your plan. That's all I want is your plan. Praise God. I didn't feel like getting in the plane and having the Nazi stewardesses about my masks and then potentially losing my luggage and having to take carry-ons. And then I got there in the shower. I think the person that owns that B&B must be a hobbit because the shower was the size of a hobbit. I couldn't fit in it. So I had to go to Lorraine's house and shower in her shower because my person is a hobbit. And I couldn't even turn around in it. How am I going to wash my toes if I can't even turn around? And then I turn on the sink to do my teeth, and it's hot water. There's no cold water in the bathroom. So I have to go to the sink in the kitchen to brush my teeth. And then they don't have blackout curtains, so I'm up at 5:45 in the morning.
Jeez.
Until I got my own blackout curtains made of garbage bags and duct tape. I don't enjoy traveling. I like my own home, I like my own bed, and I like my own pillow. But I'll go anywhere and I'll do anything for the plan.
Yes.
And I won't complain.
Yes.
There'll be a joy.
Yes, Lord.
Well, there wasn't a joy in that hobbit shower, but there'll be a joy nonetheless. There was a joy in Lorraine's shower. Praise God. But I'm going to do whatever I need to for the plan.
Yes.
Because the plan comes first in my life.
Yes.
And all this stuff will be added, including a bigger shower. It'll all be added. Praise God. Hallelujah. So my brothers and sisters, why is maybe being led by the Spirit the most important of those 9 points? I'm not saying it is the most important, but it very well could be. Because there's so many other points that are so important. But why is this doctrine so important for the believer? In my opinion, because even if you don't know what to do, even if you don't understand faith, even if you are timid, even if you are offended, even if you are a scallywag, even if you are missing it, sinful, and you don't understand or you don't meet up with all the requirements of the ingredients of success. But if you've got this one thing alone, the Holy Ghost, if you can just understand how to be led by Him, He will fix all the other problems in your life. I didn't understand what faith was for the life of me, but I understood how to be led by the Spirit. And He took me to a church. And Dr. Dufresne stood up. He taught me what faith meant. See, I could be taught faith, Joey. But if I didn't have the leading of the Spirit, I would not have even been positioned to hear that. I can have problems. We can all have mistakes and sin and do things wrong. But if we're led by the Spirit, He will lead us out of that pit and into victory. The leading of the Spirit, I believe, is probably the most important subject. And I'm in good company because Kenneth Hagin said over and over again, learning to be led by the Spirit is the most important thing a Christian can do. He said that all the time. And he is smarter than me. Being led, learning to be led, learning, which means it's not instant. It's a process. So if you're not doing it too good today, don't beat yourself up. Just commit to the process. Learning to be led by the Spirit is the most important thing a believer can do. Because it will lead you into and out of any issue that you ever face in your life. But you really got to commit to learning it. Are you with me? It's not just about faith. It's about being led by the Spirit. If you ask a denominational person, do you think God wants to heal you? A lot of them are going to say no. If you ask a denominational person, do you think God wants to prosper you? Even more will say no. But if you ask a denominational person, do you think God wants you to fulfill His plan for your future? 99.9999% of every denomination out there, including Catholics, will say yes. This is a very publicly recognized concept. God wants, see, the world says, I don't know what I'm made for. But the believer says, God's got a plan for my life. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have to prosper you and to give you a hope and a future. So the believer innately, Joey, not every believer knows about healing. Not every believer knows about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Not every believer knows about faith. Not every believer knows about prosperity. But every believer innately believes, God's got something for me. So to ask people, do you think God wants to lead you into his plan for your life? You're going to get a lot of yeses. So you'd think with a lot of yeses that there would be much knowledge on this subject because everybody agrees on it. This is the most misunderstood and maligned subject in the body of Christ. Yet 99.9% of people will say that they need it. More people understand healing than they do this. More people understand prosperity than they do this. They don't get it. I'm telling you guys, I'm trying to help you. I know because I've been doing this for 31 years and I've talked to people that have done a lot longer. And I'm telling you, most believers have no idea how to be led by the Spirit. Yet every believer will say, I believe God's got some plan for my future. And I want God to show me. But they're never shown. So it is an agreed subject, but it is a misunderstood subject. Which is why we got to teach it. Which is why I'm putting this on the radio. Because Christians need to teach it. By the way, I just thought I'd share this. This blessed my socks off. Miss Deanne Allen was up in Sherbourne where she lives. She went into a West Indian store to get some food. And as she's talking, paying for the food, the West Indian lady, I don't know, they mentioned something about God and she picked up on it, whatever. And they started the conversation. Well, that conversation turned into about Jesus. And that conversation turned into about the Holy Ghost. And that conversation turned into about tithing. And then they got in back and forth. They're preaching to each other about tithing and our tithing rights and our tithing covenant and how tithing is so important. And then that West Indian lady behind the counter looks at her and says, you know who you remind me of? This man I listen to every day on the radio. Have you ever heard of Pastor Craig Field? And Deanne almost passed out. She goes, do I know him? Do I know him? He's my daddy. I'm going to Dominica under him. And she starts preaching a firestorm in that West Indian place. And she said, tell him, my husband and I listen every day. And the message has changed our life. Now I can go for another 5 years on the radio without any other encouragement because of that one precious lady. Praise God. This message, whether you come or not, will change your life. I'm putting this on the radio because every believer believes God has something for their future, but very few understand how to be led. Are you listening to me? It is an epidemic of Christians not understanding how to be led. It is a misunderstood subject. Now I'm getting ornery. I don't know if you can tell. But I got ornery last night because my son says, Daddy, I want you to watch it because I've been away from him all week. Daddy, I want you to watch the movie with me. I said, okay, what is it? So I forget the name of it. But anyway, he puts on this movie. It's a Christian produced movie on Netflix, if there is such a contradiction in terms, called a Christian produced movie. But anyway, and it's about this true story about this girl who's a volleyball player in Iowa. And she's the star of the team, and she takes them to the state championships, and she's this vibrant, beautiful, wonderful young lady, 16 years old, and gets killed in a motorcycle accident. And now the team is left without a captain, and so the whole story is how they have to rally together, and they're losing all their games, and then they decide they're going to fight, and they're going to work hard in honor of this friend of theirs, her memory. And then they end up fighting and winning all these games in a row and going back to state championship, and then they win the state. And it's a very inspirational, special story. But all the way through the story, they're showing one of the actors there, Hurt is his last name. Anyway, William Hurt, he's a great actor, but he's the father of the deceased girl. And so they're showing in these very moving scenes the deep grief. And he's lost his wife to sickness and his daughter to a motorcycle accident. And they're Christians and they're showing this deep grief and they're showing, you know, how they're rallying. And of course, there's inspiration, you know, of let's do this. And the music and the violins and your spirit swells and you're inspired. And I want to play volleyball. And if I don't play volleyball, I want to do what they're doing. And everything can work out okay. And there is a silver lining in this cloud. And there's a rainbow at the end of hell. And all this stuff. And I'm feeling my mind chill. Wow, it's wonderful. And then I'm feeling my spirit getting more agitated. And my spirit's... And I feel the lesser Samuel anointing come on me. And I'm getting more angry and more angry. Daddy's, what's wrong, Daddy? Don't you like the movie? And I heard the Holy Ghost speak to me. In the midst of all that, oh, this is like the violin. Oh, yes, we can win the championship in memory of this girl. See, all that is soul. Nothing wrong with having your soul tickled once in a while. But all that's soul. But my spirit is different to my soul. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me in my spirit. And this is how he said it to me. Now, he doesn't always talk to me this way, but this is how he said. He sounded like Dr. Summerall, but this doesn't always sound that way. Most times he doesn't. But he sounded gruff and annoyed. The Holy Ghost has emotions and he can get annoyed. The Bible says he can be grieved. And I heard him on the inside and he kind of grunted almost like Doctor did. And honestly, I'm serious. And he said, none of that would have happened if they learned to be led by the Spirit. The woman wouldn't have died of sickness. The girl wouldn't have been killed at 16 in a motorcycle accident if they'd been learned to be led by my spirit. But you see, what we've done as Christians is we've ignored this important subject because we don't go to no church to teach it. And we live our life just like normal, like the world, but we're going to heaven. And all of a sudden, the devil's got a plan and he takes us out because we don't know how to listen to the counselor to say, don't get on that bike today. And now there's devastation. And now there's grief and pain. And now there's sickness and death and sorrow and accidents and destruction. But you see, what we do is we don't look at that. We focus on all the silver lining and the emotions and we're going to win the championship. And there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm saying is there's a deeper truth than just the soulish euphoria. If you're led by the Holy Ghost, you won't get into the accident to begin with. There will be no need for this stuff. He still wants you to win the championship. He just wants you to be alive. No, there's a religious spirit. There's a religious spirit out there. Even in Christian movies. They magnify the grief instead of the victory. They magnify God will get you through instead of you shouldn't even be going through it to begin with. Because if you were led by the Spirit, he would lead you away from that. Dad Hagen is sitting there and he feels this weird feeling. He says, Aretha, what are you doing? Aretha says, I got this sensation like I'm being thrown out of a car. I don't know what that is. And the next, it happened a few days. I just feel like I'm being thrown out of a car. Well, that's weird. Most people would ignore that. Yeah. 2 weeks later, his niece gets thrown out of a car and killed. And the Holy Ghost spoke to him. I'm paraphrasing. But the Lord said, I was trying to lead you. Now see, God can speak. God can give the inner witness. But he can also give even a sensation. Yeah. I was trying to lead you. To let you know danger was coming. And all you had to do is speak and say, I bind that in Jesus' name, and that accident would not have happened. But you were not skillful with my leading, and your niece now is in heaven. Now you see, we could make a movie about that. And all about the wonderful stuff with the niece and the great and the emotional, there's a silver lining. But it didn't have to happen. For that precious girl in Iowa, it didn't. I'm not trying to hurt those that are grieving. I'm just saying it didn't have to happen. But you see, it's a misunderstood concept and doctrine about how to be led by the Spirit. Because Christians all believe God has a plan and wants to show them, but none of them actually do it. Are you with me? David Hogan, when he gets up in the morning and he said, God, which way do I go? Because there's cartels everywhere. There's paramilitary everywhere. And they just kill you. And then they ask questions later. Yeah. You don't understand what that feels like. Because you've got 911. Yeah. In the jungles of Mexico, there is no 911. And God says, go this route. So one day the man and the woman he's been with for 20 years. They said, brother, hey, well, we're going to go. He said, I'm going to go there. He said, well, I just feel we should go here. Oh, that's okay. We're going to go here. He said, sister, I have a sense we should go here. Oh, don't worry, I got the blood. The blood does not trump the leading of the Spirit. So he goes the one route, and her husband go the other route. And there's the cartel waiting for them in the road. Out the car. Hands up. Rob them. Put the gun to her head and blow her brains out in front of her husband. He collapsed, fell in the grass. They were looting the car, thinking they were going to kill him in a second. But God said, go, run. And he crawled through the grass and he escaped after witnessing his wife being murdered in front of his eyes. Why? No teaching about how to be led by the Holy Ghost. Is she a martyr? Yes. Is she going to have a special reward in heaven? Yes. Would it have been better for her to live and win more souls to Jesus? Yes. I'm not trying to be hard on you. I'm trying to let you know this stuff can not just help you get money and get jobs and avoid backups on the highway, but it can save your life. I was driving with Jenny. We were going. I heard the Lord say, go this route. It's going to take me 10 more minutes out of my way. I heard him. I don't know why he said it. It's stupid. I said, no, I'm not going to take that 10 minutes out of my way. Why? What I didn't know was it was an accident 5 minutes ahead. And now I can't get out because it's a one lane. I can't get out. I'm stuck. We waited for almost an hour trying to get through that traffic jam. And if I just listened to the prompting, go that route, I would have been there, had my ice cream. My God. When I was under that water with no breath, that was the leading of the Spirit that said, if you struggle, you'll die. Close your eyes and let the water take you. I'm at the point of drowning, that convulsion. And all of a sudden, that angel filled my lungs with oxygen. I didn't need to breathe. And for over a minute, I just let that wave take, that thing take me. And I was just as happy as a clam. Being led by the Spirit saved my life. Because your natural reaction is fight to get to the surface, and I would have drowned. I wouldn't be standing here today. Are you listening to me? I'm trying to help you. On that platform, when those 30 people surrounded me, some of them with weapons, some of them not, and I heard him say, spin. Spin. If I had just decided to say, in Jesus' name, I bind you, it wouldn't have worked. Whatever God, I don't know why he has this kind of humor about him, but he wanted to see me spin. So I took that guitar case and I spun around. And God delivered me and froze them like statues. I'm being honest with you. It's not just little things. Understanding this will change your life. It will save your life. It's not just faith. The leading of the Spirit gets you into the plan of God, shows you what's in the plan of God, shows you what's in that realm. Faith pulls it into this realm to make it manifest. But you know, it's not just about pulling it into manifestation. Faith has its place. But if you don't even know what's in that realm, and if you're not in the right place and in the right timing, and if you're not led, your faith won't work properly because you're pulling something that God didn't even really want for you. Some people are using their faith for homes, but God never authored that home because it's not in the plan because they don't know how to be led. So their faith is being used for something it shouldn't be used for, and then they say faith doesn't work. No, faith works. But he has to author what you're using your faith for, which means you got to be led. Are you with me? It's not just about faith. It's not just about one subject. A huge part of the Christian experience is being led by the Spirit. Huge. Pay attention a bit more this morning while you drive. Do you know who you're talking to? I'm an Autobahn expert. I'm going to pay no attention. But I didn't see that man in the BMW coming talking on a stupid phone. Came into my lane, head-on collision, about to happen. And because I was paying a little closer attention, I was able to go over onto the ditch. Almost hit a tree, but God got me out back on the road. We would have had a head-on collision at 100 kilometers an hour. This just happened a few months ago. But I heard the Spirit say, pay extra close attention today. I'm telling you, being led by the Spirit will save you. In big ways, small ways, and every way in between. Listen, I'm going to end with this, but being led by the Spirit, are you listening, will help you find what God wants you to do, the path of his will, get on that path, and help you stay on that path. Because on that path is supply and finances and favor and increase and health and all that stuff. And listen, on that path, angels are on that path. to help manifest. Remember he said the angels are poised to bring it into manifestation. But they can only bring it into manifestation if you're led by the Spirit in the plan of God, believing for what he's told you to believe for, and you're in that right flow. Then angels will assist you. So I'm trying to help you. Being led by the Spirit will actually unlock angels working in your life more. Because the less you're led, the less angels can help you. Because angels, are you listening? They are only assigned to the perfect will of God. They are assigned to his leading. They know his leading better than you do. And if you don't know his leading, they're only there to help with his leading. If you're out of his leading, they can't help you. If you're in his leading, they'll help you. So we talk about faith, but without the leading of the Spirit, faith doesn't work right. We talk about angels, but without the leading of the Spirit, angels don't work right. Are you with me? Yes. Leading of the Spirit is so important. Yes. Can I close? It's 11:59, but can I close with this one? I want to read you just a couple paragraphs of something that really helped me. Dr. Dufresne told me about this book. I'm not telling you the name of the author because when he wrote this, he had great, Dr. Dufresne respected him, and he was right on in this book, perfect doctrine. But then he got onto false doctrine, and he stepped off the wagon. And so I don't want you following some of the weird stuff that he's talking about now. But at the early part of his ministry, you know, that can happen. People can be right at the beginning, and then 20 years in, they're into false doctrine. But that doesn't mean we throw out what had the beginning. But I also don't want you following him now. So I'm not saying his name. But Dr. Dufresne gave me this book. And he said, don't really follow anything else, but follow, listen to what he said in this book, because this is right. I want to read you one part of this. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
The angel said, this angel appeared to this pastor. And that's what he said. I'm just going to read it, and then we're going to go. Are you okay? Give me 5 minutes. The Lord told me, that angels are just on assignment and do not have the liberty to give people slack or to forgive their laziness. As an example, the Lord referred me to Genesis 19 and how the angels were sent to rescue Lot. And it was very clear in verse 13, and he quotes verse 13, the Lord has sent us, the angel is speaking, to destroy the city. But Lot lagged behind. Verse 16 says that while he lingered, the angels laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto them, and they brought them forth and set them outside the city. They had a job to do. The angels had a job to do. And they didn't have the authority to change plans. Are you listening? Remember, when they were in town rescuing Lot, Abraham had been interceding before the Lord not to destroy the city if 10 righteous were found. Evidently, God did not even find 10 righteous people because God decided to destroy the city. The angels could not tell the Lord, "We've decided to give Lot another week, so hold off." Because Lot was taking his time. His wife was lingering. Remember, she turned around later.
Right, yeah.
He did not want to leave. The angel is laying hold. Come on, we got to go. Are you with me?
Yes,
the angel had to do that because he did not have authority to stop judgment.
Right.
His job was not to tell God to change his mind. His job was to get him clear of the destruction zone.
Right.
Angels cannot change the plan. They are assigned to the plan, but they can't change the plan. Are you with me?
Yes.
The angels couldn't tell the Lord, "We've decided to give Lot another week, so hold off." They were sent on a mission, and they had to hurry the man and his family out of there. After this, Lot asked the angels to allow him to go to a small city nearby instead of the mountain, which the angels agreed to. But they said in verse 22, "I cannot do anything." The angel answered Lot, "I cannot do anything until you come out thither." In other words, don't talk to me about where we're going. We got to get out, and we got to get out now. And we'll figure that out where you're going later. You see, they couldn't delay the destruction.
Yeah.
They couldn't change the plan of God.
Good,
they're on assignment.
Yes.
They can't alter things for you. They can only do what's in the path.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yes.
The Lord told me, and this is very powerful, listen closely. The Lord told me that many times provision is made for his people in accordance with their prayers, and angels are sent from heaven to make it happen. But when it comes for them to step into what the Lord has done in the Spirit, people go their own way. In other words, they're not led by the Spirit. They get off that path and they get into trouble. He told me that many have even died early because the angel prepared in one area protection, But the person went in a different direction because they were not led by the Spirit. And the angel has to stick to their original assignment and cannot rescue the person in that case. Why are so many Christians die? But they've got angels. Doesn't make sense, does it? Well, it does make sense. Because the angel is assigned to the path. They got out of the leading of the Spirit onto a different path. The angel's not on that path. The angel's on this path. You're going to die on that path. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's very sobering, isn't it?
Yes.
It's about angels, but it's also about the leading of the Spirit.
Yes.
I mean, read you an example, then we're close. He showed me an example of what he was talking about. Suddenly, this is in a vision he's having. Suddenly, we were standing in the air, looking down into a church. And I saw below us a young single woman with two children sitting in the back pew. She was listening to the sermon, but her mind wasn't on the sermon. And I heard her thoughts to the Lord about some answers she was praying for. One child appeared to be about three, and the other was a baby. The three-year-old was standing up looking over the back of the pew, and the baby was in her lap. I heard her prayers and the thoughts in her mind as she ignored the sermon and complained to the Lord about her situation. The Lord explained to me that her husband had left her, and she was living with her parents, and that is why she was in that church. He said that she hadn't got a job yet. This is Jesus standing beside the pastor in an open vision, and they're in the atmosphere looking down, and he's explaining to him what he's seeing. He said that she had not gotten a job yet, and her car was broken down. The Lord told me it was her alternator. Jesus knows what's wrong with your car. In her mind, she was saying things like this to the Lord, quote, "Lord, you said you'd be a father to the fatherless, and look at my kids. Where have you been faithful to them? Why have you abandoned me? Where is your provision? How am I going to get a job without a car? And how can I get the car fixed without a job? This isn't mom and dad's problem. I can't keep sponging off them. Show me how to get my life and finances back in order." He could hear her prayers. That's what she's praying. My heart went out to this young lady, this young mother, who was thinking the Lord had abandoned her. And she couldn't understand why he was allowing. That's religious talk if I ever heard it.
Yeah.
Now, he does allow certain things, but not the way most people talk about it. Why he was allowing this difficulty. Then I turned to my left to ask Jesus what could be done for her sad state. But when I saw, stopped the words in my throat, tears streamed down Jesus' face as he heard her prayer. And he said to me, "She is in this church because of loyalty to her parents. But she knows she's supposed to be going to another church." Just then I saw a church to our left that was across town, and a pastor delivering a message to his congregation. And I heard this woman asking the Lord about it. A pastor delivering a message to his congregation that I had just heard this message asking to the Lord. But in other words, he was preaching exactly her answer. She's praying and he's preaching it. But she's in this church because of mommy and daddy. But in her heart, she knows she's supposed to be in that church. A lot of people do that. Jesus said with tears that this pastor was teaching a series on finances and establishing God's divine order in your life. That she should have been in that church getting her answers. Then he said that beyond her, her children had a call on their lives to the ministry. And that call was being delayed and stifled because of her emotional unwillingness to do what is right.
Wow.
Then he said, quote, Jesus is speaking, "She is seeking answers, and I have provided the answers, but she is looking in the wrong place." He turned to the church across town and pointed out a man in a t-shirt sitting. This is the other church that they're seeing, where she should be. Pointed out a man in a t-shirt sitting on the front row on the left. Jesus said to me, "Do you see that man?" I said, "Yes." He said, "He's a mechanic. I have already commanded him to fix her car for free. But he can't find her because she's not in the right church." He pointed out an older woman sitting with two friends. He said, "You see that lady?" I said, "Yes." He said, "She babysits children in her home, and I've already commanded her that she watch this woman's children." Then he pointed out another man and he said, "You see that man?" I said, "Yes." He said, "He owns a business in town, that he has an opening for a receptionist, and I've commanded him to give her a job." I was reminded of Elijah and the widow of Zarephath. In 1 Kings 17, in verse 9, the Lord told Elijah that he had commanded the widow to sustain him. And when he got there, the lady was preparing what she thought was her last meal. Completely unaware, a miraculous provision had been commanded from heaven. She was ready to die, not knowing the blessing had been commanded. That was exactly the case with this young woman. Suddenly, I saw angling off to our left at about 45 degrees, what appeared to be something of an assembly line. It was like a pathway into the future, and there were angels on either side of this path. There wasn't a conveyor belt, but I saw angels darting in and out of the path, while some stood on the path arranging things. Jesus said to me, "This is my will for that young lady for the next 2 years. The angels are on that path and have prepared a job for her, as I've said. Those angels have prepared an apartment for her within 2 months. And I'm also sending her to school to complete her education so she can get a better job. The angels have prepared everything for her on that path, but she's on this path." Then off to our right, I saw another path going 2 years into the future. Unlike the first path, which was lit by God's glory, this was dim. It had one or two angels on the side looking rather inactive. Before I could ask what I was seeing, the Lord answered me and said, "This is the path she is currently on, which is outside my perfect will." As soon as a command goes forth from the Father, angels are assigned to make ready everything needed. People will often start out on the right path, but when decisions that require growth of character or not to be offended are required of them, they sometimes back off my perfect will and go onto their own path. This is what you are seeing, son. I am faithful, and I will do what I can for her. And the angels have responded to the command of my Father, but they cannot change the path or the assignment. It is her will and her disobedience that has chosen this path. Wow. We will, listen to this, we will not, me and the Father, he's saying, we will not be blamed on the day of judgment when all is revealed and the lady stands before us. For we have been faithful to commit to keep our words of commitment to her. That says a lot to me. People that have all this stuff going on, where is the path? What you need is the leading of the Spirit to find where God wants you, the church he wants you in, the job he wants you in. And angels are assigned to that path. They will cause that stuff to come to pass. You're on your own deal. They're not there. You're fighting on your own tooth, nail, and claw like the sinner. But if you just be led by the Spirit into getting, follow your heart, a hearing heart. She knew in her heart, I should be there. But loyalty to her parents put her in a dead church. How many Christians are like that? They know the Holy Spirit's trying to lead them to go here, to do that. Don't marry that person. Go to this church. Don't work at this job. Don't go to this school. He's trying to lead them because in that path, is his perfect will. He's trying to get them in. The leading of the Spirit gets you into the perfect will. The leading of the Spirit gets you into the perfect will. And angels are in the perfect will. They're going to, everything's fixed up for you. But when you won't be led by the Spirit and you get out of the perfect will, you're fighting on your own. You're crying. Why are you allowing this? And then for her, it's just the finances and frustration. But for other people, it's death. For that volleyball player, it was death. Are you listening? Angels want to help you, but you've got to find the will of God for them to help you, right? How do you find the will of God? Pray in the Holy Ghost until the Holy Ghost starts to show you his plan for your life. And be in the right church, and I believe you're in the right church, that will teach you these doctrines and that will help you so that you're not just sitting week after week, not growing. Praise God. Father, I thank you. There's so much more, but Lord, I think I've spent their time far enough and we'll pick it up next Sunday. But Father, I thank you that the most important thing, principle is the most principal thing. The most important thing in our life is the motive of our hearts to say, Father, I want your plan like Solomon. I want to do what you've asked me to do. I humble myself. I know I can't do it on my own. I want to do exactly what you've called me to do and nothing else. I'm not looking for money or health or victory or anything else. I'm looking to fulfill your will. Now guide me and let me be led by the Spirit to fulfill your will. When we have that heart, all the money, health, and everything else will follow us. The angels have prepared everything on that path. All we need to do is know where we're assigned and just be led by the Spirit to get into it and to stay in it. Father, if they're called to this church because you assigned them here, let them stay in the path, because answers are here. Angels are working in this place. When they're in the perfect will of God for their life, the angels will cause all the preparation to be done, that what they need will come to pass. If they're not experiencing it, they've got to pray out the plan, and they've got to ask you to help them and give them a hearing heart, that they would hear your guidance and wisdom, that they would know what to cut out of their life, what to add to their life, where they would know what to do and what not to do, that they would find back that sweet flow, that perfect will. And sometimes, Father, that's a process. Sometimes it takes months to cut out of our life what needs to be cut. Sometimes it takes months to add to our life what needs to be added. But as long as we're committed to the process, we don't have to feel discouraged. We don't have to feel upset. We don't have to feel abandoned, because the Holy Ghost is guiding us into that greatness of his plan. Angels are on that plan. Angels are assigned to help us on that plan. Our job, our first job, not our only, but our first job, is to find that path and let the Holy Ghost lead us into it. Holy Ghost, we need your leading so that we can fulfill the will of God. Lord, hear this congregation's heart. I believe every one of them are echoing my words. Father, on their behalf, we pray to you in Jesus' name. And we tell you, Father, we are like Solomon today. We want more than anything to do the assignment you've given us. We want more than anything to fulfill your plan that you've given us in our lives. Give us hearing hearts. Help us to be led by the Spirit, that we would know what you've asked us to do, that we'd get into it, stay in it, because we know that all that we need, all the money, all this, all that, the angels are already working in that path, and we'll all show up. We just need to know that we're doing what pleases you and what you've assigned. Help us, lead us, Holy Spirit, to find that assignment, and to not just find it, but to walk in it, and to stay in it, and not to branch off in our own decisions because we get offended or because we think we know better ourselves. Help us to stay. Holy Ghost, guide us, lead us, that we would stay in your perfect will. And we give you praise. Oh, I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. I give you praise. Oh, to be led by the Spirit, what a joy and what a privilege. All the answers that we need come by being led by the Spirit. All the victories, all the health, all the breakthrough, all the angelic assistance, all the joy, all the favor, it comes by being led by the Spirit, because it's all on that path, and you're putting us in that path, Holy Ghost. So I give you praise for it. I give you praise for it. Even when we're attacked of the enemy, the Spirit will lead us with exactly what to do and how to speak. Lord, you've done that for Mom, Pastor Nancy, so many times. She'll do what she knows, but then you'll give her instruction and you'll say, no, don't do it that way, do it this way. Lord, at one time she had to praise you for a season, and then from that place she spoke and that demon left. At another time you said, no, speak the specific, address the words that that demon said. For the atmosphere is created by its words. Now address the words specifically. Lord, you've led her, Holy Ghost, into exactly how to deal with the devil on multiple occasions. Lord, lead us even in that arena of our spiritual warfare. Lead us that we would know skillfully how to deal with the devil. Skillfully how to deal with our spouse. Lead us in our marriages that we would treat our spouse. Show us where the spouse is not acting right, where there's a problem. Holy Ghost, guide us, lead us to know what to say, when to say it, how to say it, and how to bring restoration to that marriage. Guide us with our children. For Lord, there's so many things sometimes that go wrong and so many influences that are evil. But Holy Ghost, you can lead us and guide us exactly how to deal with them and how to help them. Every arena we face, we must have the leading of the Spirit. Everything we face, we must have the leading of the Spirit. It's not just to get into the perfect will of God, although it's the primary. But as we're in the perfect will of God, we're going to face tests and trials. We're going to face problems. Even in the perfect will, there's going to be attacks. There's going to be tests and trials. The devil trying to get us off. The devil trying to stop us. And so as we walk the perfect path, we must be led in every situation we face so we can have victory in it all. So I thank you, Father. Give, let this produce an appetite. Let this be an hors d'oeuvre this morning that produces an appetite in them, to hope in them, to say, you know what? It's going to be okay. No matter what I'm facing today, it's going to be okay because I've got the Holy Ghost. If I've got the Holy Ghost, it's going to be okay. And don't matter how bad it looks, I've got the Holy Ghost. He will guide me out. He will lead me to victory. I've got the Holy Ghost. I've won already. It might look bleak, but I've got the Holy Ghost. He will lead me into victory. There is great hope this morning, Father, no matter what they're facing, because they've got the genius on the inside of them. And they are not alone. Even though they feel it, they are not alone. The Holy Ghost is with them. Their pastor is with them. The prayers of the saints are with them. And they're going to make it. And they're going to be led into victory. I give you praise for it, Father. And I give you honor and glory. In the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. You know the Bible says you are the head and not the tail. Where is the head on a dog? At the front. Where is the tail? At the back. In other words, God's saying, I've made you to be out in front of situations. I don't want you always to be blindsided and in the back of things. I've made you to be out front. How are you out front? By the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Ghost warns you, don't do that. Don't go there. Don't talk to your husband like that. Don't do that with the kids. I will change that confession. Sow that extra seed. I want you to humble yourself in there. The Holy Ghost is constantly leading you to stay in that plan and to stay out ahead of situations. Ahead of situations. We should be in the know, Jenny. Ahead of problems. They shouldn't be blindsiding us. We should be ahead of them because I made the head. I've not made the tail. Let the Holy Ghost make you the head. Hallelujah. Let him guide you. If you've got a marriage problem, the Holy Ghost got the answer for you. If you've got children problem, you got money problem, you got mental problem, the Holy Ghost got the answer for you. If you learn to be led by him, he'll lead you into out of any problem. And he'll lead you into that perfect path. Hallelujah. Praise God.